NYPD Blue Balls, Season 1, Episode 19, Sergey the Concierge, or Serge the Concierge, depending on
how. I call it Serge the Concierge. I don't know why they didn't call it Serge the Concierge, because I feel like that would flow better with the way they do titles, you know?
Yeah, but it is technically Sergey is the name of the character, and he is the concierge, so it is Sergey the Concierge. It opens up with a guy who is, by the way, Noah Emmerich, who was on The Truman Show and Super 8, and he was in a couple other things.
Noah Emmerich? Mm-hmm. Who was he?
He was the guy that comes in the very beginning. He only has one scene. But he talks to Sipowicz and Kelly, and basically, in the longest way possible, says, I may have disposed of a body into a dumpster without knowing
what
it is.
He's like, I helped somebody. I didn't know. Yeah.
And then, basically, he does that thing where he's like, if a party is a... was a part of throwing something away that he did not know what it was when it was thrown away, then is he therefore responsible for? And like, they're like, what did you do?
Yeah. And he just won't come out and say it. Yeah.
And he says, well, we put a body in a dumpster. I think it was a body. I'm not 100% sure. And then basically he gives the details and it's like, oh, wow, there's a body. So they go to get the body. Well, they ask where it is. He's like, oh, it was a dumpster on blah, blah, blah. He's like, okay, when? He's like, 3 days ago. And he's like, oh, well then that means it's been picked up. That means it's in a landfill.
But from what I remember, Sipowicz gets pissed. That was one of my favorite lines.
Yeah, Sipowicz gets like really upset because now he knows they gotta go dumpster diving. Well, not even dumpster diving. They gotta go landfill swimming to find a body. Right before they head out, though, the other story, Sipowicz gets a call that Andy Jr. was popped for cocaine possession and selling.
Yeah.
He was popped because he was made, apparently, by an undercover guy, like, three separate times, and then he was in the area where he normally sells.
Yeah. So he got popped for selling cocaine to the undercover guy.
The guy who's running the case is Nick Savino.
Yeah, this is Savino's first... Savino becomes a running character, and this is his first... intro into the NYPD Blue world.
And he seems like a good guy. Like, when Sipowicz goes on the case...
He seemed... At first, he doesn't seem like that good of a guy to me. He seems like he's more... He's not worried about his career, but he's like a young go-getter. And so I feel like at the beginning, he's not really cool with Sipowicz coming in and kind of like fucking with his... with his investigation. Personally, that's what I thought.
Well, I think what happened was, when Sipowicz hears that his son was arrested, the first thing he does is he goes into the police station, and he goes to somebody he knows, and he says, hey, Nick Savino just picked up my son. The guy tells him, he's like, I figured I'd give you a call, let you know. He's like, I've got a cousin who's the same thing, total screw up. And then Sipowicz says, no, this is the first time my son's ever been arrested. And the guy's like, and he's like, oh, okay. And he's like, what is this Savino guy like? Because Sipowicz is such a good investigator.
The guy he talks to actually comes back in a later episode.
Yeah, he does. I
forgot his name. I forgot what the name of the detective was. But he comes back in a later episode.
In his investigation, Sipowicz goes directly to his friend and says, hey, what is this guy like? He wants to get some kind of idea of what the dude is like from somebody who works with him. And then when the guy's like, dude, stand up, his case is hold. Like, he's a good guy, he's doing a good job, he's a go-getter. And then Sipowicz talks to him directly to see if he can pick up anything on him. And the guy's like, look, I spotted him three different times, I made the ID myself, and I brought him in.
It's Jerry McCabe, that's the name of the guy.
So then he goes to talk to Andy Jr., and he doesn't pass judgment on him or say anything. He asks him, like, very directly, did you do this? And he says, no. That's one of the coolest lines. Because I kind of hate Andy's son in the beginning. He's kind of like a douche. But it's because his dad's a drunk.
He has a right to be a douche.
Yeah, his dad. But he says, no, I stay away from drugs or alcohol.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, like, supposed to be, like, a real just straight dig into him.
Which I'm fine with.
And Sipowicz kind of, like, he takes that abuse and then goes out there and just hits the streets super hard.
Well, don't you think he kind of has to take that abuse? Like,
until he proves himself truly changed. Yeah, it sucks that.
Yeah.
It sucks that the only person who came to see him, really, a guy who's in power to do something, he comes in and he says, "Hey, like, did you do this? I'm gonna look into it and see what's happening." And, like, to be a dick to the one guy who's gonna help out is not cool. I mean, he has every right to.
You also have to think, like, he's in a situation where drugs are involved. He feels like his dad is judging him for it, even though he may try not to and, like, you know, be on his tippy toes. But his dad's probably, he feels like his dad's judging him for it, even though his dad has no right because his dad was an alcoholic. So I get it. And his dad's never around. And the last time they had a conversation, he fucked up a marriage that he was going to have. So,
but he saved him. He saved him from that marriage.
Yeah, but he's still a little bitter. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he could have been with that fake tits McGee. So he starts hitting the pavement and he starts asking around. He starts doing some old school, like, go to the neighborhood, everybody, like, show the picture, canvas, and get some info. And he figures out that his son looks exactly like a cocaine dealer.
Yeah.
That happens to be where his son went one day, and that's why he got picked up. And the bad news is that this guy's already in prison. So, like, he has nothing to gain or lose by getting his son off the hook, really.
Yeah.
And it's a cool episode because it's kind of like Sipowicz. Because Sipowicz, this isn't him doing his job. His job would be to take care of the body in the body that
the dumpster. Again, he just fucking bails.
he just goes, "Hey, my kid's in trouble," and then everyone's like, "Okay," and he just bounces.
But that doesn't what's his name bail too? Kelly bails.
Yeah, Kelly bails to do something.
I know that in his old, remember that dude who died, that rich millionaire?
That's right.
There's a stipulation in the will that he'll keep getting paid as if he bodyguards that Robin chick.
What happens, the reason he gets off of the landfill duty is because he finds a different body. And that body happens to be like a rich white dude who went missing a while ago. And it was an unsolved case. And they go to the woman, and the woman's like, "Oh, you know, he just went running one day, and then he disappeared."
Yeah.
And they put together pretty quick that Sergey and the old lady are acting very weird.
Well, Sergey just comes in, like, well, the reason they cause that, the cause for that is Sergey, while Detective Kelly's interviewing her, Sergey just lets himself into the apartment, even though she's home, and that kind of tips off his little spidey senses, because he's like, "Wait a second, why are you just walking in without knocking, and why do you have a key, and, you know, all this weird stuff."
And they do the put one of them in one room, one in the other, and they play off each other and say, "Oh, well, the other gave you up," and they figure out, like, they just plotted to kill this guy.
But she doesn't really get in trouble. The way she planned it out, the way it works out, is I think Sergey gets more in trouble because he did the actual crime, whereas she didn't.
Yeah, she's the only thing she'll claim is that she was drinking with her husband.
Yeah.
And she thinks that'll hold up in, depending on the jury, but there could be conspiracy to murder. So it's a sticky situation for them, and Sipowicz is running the much cooler story, which he's going to people and he's asking, like, "Have you seen this guy?" And it looks like his son, but it also looks like this cocaine dealer. And he goes to this woman's house, and this woman is on some hard times. I don't know if she's also on drugs. I don't know. I think she had a kid in that really terrible apartment. And Sipowicz basically says, "Hey, answer my questions, I'll give you money," and throws money at her to find out about this guy. And he goes, "Okay, well then where is he?" He's like, "Where you guys put him in Rikers?" So Andy has to have like the most weird conversation that is probably one of his best acting moments, at least in season one, where he gets the guy in the cell and he says, "Hey, so I need you to do me a favor. I need you to cop to selling cocaine at your usual spot."
Yeah.
And he's like, why would I do that? And he's like, well, because they have my son in custody right now, and they're about to charge him with it because you look alike. And he's like, oh, well, that's unfortunate. And he's like, look, here's the deal. If you don't do this, I'm going to talk to the guy in this booking, and I'm going to make sure you serve everything on top of each other, not concurrently.
Yeah.
And he's like, and all you have to do is just call and say that you did this so my son doesn't get a number. And he's like, your son will beat it once they... He's like, no, if he gets that number, he's going to have to write out an application. And this is when he gets super emotional about it. And he says, every time he writes an application, he has to write that he's been arrested. And every time someone sees it, they're not going to care how or why. They're going to just know he at one point he was arrested.
Yeah.
He's like, and I don't want him to have to live through life with that struggle because you won't admit to something you did wrong.
Yeah. He just was in the wrong place at the wrong time and looked alike.
And what was cool was the guy basically was like, call my lawyer. If he says it's cool, it's cool. Which is interesting.
Yeah, that's an interesting way. And did you think that they looked alike?
No. I didn't think they looked alike at all.
Not at all. So I feel like Savino should lose his job.
Well, like, I think with theater of the mind and just like the show, you just have to accept that they kind of look alike and the mistake was made. But I think what happened is they started to write the episode and then they sent it to casting and they're like, we can't find anybody that looks like Andy Jr. We have this kid who kind of maybe, like, if you squint, looks like him, but
resembles him.
But that's the best we can do, and they just had to go with it.
Yeah, I don't know. But he does not look like him. I was expecting, like, I wasn't expecting, like, a fucking twin. Or the guy who plays Andy Jr. to be, like, another guy with a beard or something, you know? Like, I wasn't expecting any of that. But I was expecting them to at least maybe look like brothers.
Yeah. But then again,
they also reuse actors and call them different names. So, I mean, they really don't care about secondary actors.
Their consistency in certain areas.
Yeah, but it's like when, like... So we were talking last episode. Yeah, last episode was about Zeppo, right?
Yeah.
And that guy Zeppo comes in another episode. Why doesn't Andy go like, hey, haven't I seen you before? Because yeah. He looks exactly like it, the same. You know what I mean? They're the exact same. So why doesn't Andy like go, wait a second, haven't I met you before? I don't know. It's my personal beef with that.
There is one quote that I had here that I wanted to say. When he goes to see that woman and knocks on the door and she doesn't open, he said, open up or I'll make this door a ramp. The Medavoy through line, which I'm sure you loved, was basically him complaining about being in garbage and then threatening to shoot at birds.
Yeah, that was funny.
That moment right there was, like, for me, all I needed for gun control advocacy. Because, like... The dude's out in garbage, and he's upset, and he keeps getting shit on, and then he's like, you know what, I'm gonna shoot these fucking birds! And it's like, yeah, that could happen to somebody. But with, like, other people.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. That's a stretch.
Because, like, that dude was a police officer. He's supposed to be trained in keeping his cool. And then he straight up goes, this fucking... birds, I'm gonna kill him! And he just pulls... He like, that's another thing. To kill these birds, he has to unzip his jumpsuit and go digging through his shirt.
To pull his fucking gun out.
And everybody's, like, just looking at him like, Medavoy, stop it. Stop it, Medavoy. You're just fucking around. But if he just started discharged his weapon, like, that would be very scary, because that means he's super unbalanced at that point.
Well, Medavoy is kind of unbalanced. Like, they end up finding the original body that they were looking for, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I just kind of feel like they were thrown away. Like, they were literally in the trash.
Yeah. And the best part was when he comes back and he's like, oh, they put us in the wrong quadrant. As it turns out, they were supposed to be in 700C. So we dug through about 20 tons of trash for no reason. And then he gets all upset and, like, starts freaking out. It's good. It's good stuff. I dig Medavoy.
Medavoy's a bitch. Medavoy took a guess, thought it might be in section 7-6 instead of section 767. We went over to the other station and found it. Yeah, we extended our little visit because why would anyone have had given us the correct information on the location of the body when this way we could extend our exposure to the stink and the bird poop? One of my favorite moments of the show is there's that black homeless man who's around all the time.
Mm-hmm.
His name's Buck Naked in the show.
Yeah.
And Edavoy Martinez walked by him after returning.
Uh-huh.
He just very calmly goes, "Hey, who sliced the provolone?"
That guy's awesome, man. He was in Workaholics and he killed it too.
Yeah, he's the guy who sells them. He's also in It's Always Sunny.
That's right. He's
the guy who sells them the junkyard cat.
And he, yeah.
This cat was born in a pool of gasoline. So Nick Savino, he's played by the actor Steven Antin.
Mm-hmm.
He was Troy in the movie Goonies.
Yeah, that's right. He was in Goonies.
Troy. He was the jock douche.
Mm-hmm.
He was in that movie, and he was in an episode of 21 Jump Street.
There's another guy on here that I wrote down the name, and I don't remember why. I wrote down the name Richard Grant.
Oh, he is the big black guy.
Yeah.
He comes back in later episodes and has a running thing with Fancy.
Yeah.
And Fancy and Sipowicz. But he's in there as a death sergeant, and he's a character actor. He's been in other things too. I just can't. It just is not coming to me right now.
Yeah, Richard Grant. He's one of those, like, NYPD Blue. You find that watching, like, really, really, like.
He was also in Deadwood. He played a really cool. He basically played a slave in Deadwood. Or a freed slave in Deadwood. He was really good in that too. But anyways, he was also in The Big Lebowski as a cop.
Yep.
Anyways.
Yeah, basically, when you watch a show like NYPD Blue or West Wing or Law & Order, there's a lot of actors that, like, oh, you've seen their face in a billion of things, and Richard Grant is one of them, and he's really good.
But what's his name? Him and Andy get into an argument because he processed his son.
And he told...
sent his son away, and even though Savino supposedly was supposed to leave, like, a note, he still sent his son away, and he kind of gets pissed off about it.
Mm-hmm. True.
I remember that for sure. But, yeah. But then we find out that Serge helped kill
that chick's husband, the lady, old lady.
And then they're like fucking each other.
Yeah, they were boning each other. He was getting into that steel wool.
He was getting into that sarcophagus of a puss. It's like the ancient pyramids, just he was dust everywhere.
He was clearing out the bats in her belfry.
It was dusty.
He was doing some housekeeping in an old mansion, if you know what I'm saying.
He was doing some spring cleaning. He was dusting off the urn full of ashes.
Robin, it's a very
this
short...
This bitch is back.
She's back from vacation. I love how, like, sometimes a character will come, like, into a scene, and they have to... Because they were gone for a little while, because she went on, like, a vacation, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that happens this episode. It might happen this episode into the next episode. But she's like, Jimmy dies, and she's like, I'm going to go on a vacation. Kelly's like, okay, yeah, but we got to talk about something when you get back. Because he got a note from Jimmy's attorney that's from Jimmy's will.
Mm-hmm.
That basically says, I am told that to give you, like, $10,000, what is it? Like, $1,000 a week or something. I was told to give you an amount of money every week to do what is in that envelope. I hope it doesn't kill anyone. And he opens up the envelope, and he doesn't say what it is, but he says, let me get back to you. I just got to talk to somebody about this. In the next episode, we find out what it is, I think. But what's funny also in the next episode is Robin shows up, and Kelly has to say, oh, yeah, she looks so tan. She was just on a vacation to somewhere.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, watching it here in high definition upscaling, that bitch didn't change it in color at all. Like, you can't just tell me she has a tan and I'm convinced. That made me
laugh. The first season. They kind of throw some things out there just to throw it out there, you know?
And there was the end of the Andy story is... basically Savino, Andy's friend in the same department, or the same district, and Andy and Sylvia are on the phone with different people making sure his fingerprints don't get processed.
Yeah.
And he brings Andy into that office and he's like, look, here's the deal. Like, I got you off. It's no problem. But I'm trying to make sure you don't get a number, because if you get a number, you have to register that you've been arrested, even if it's never processed. And they find out it's all good, and he's like, how about I just take you home? Also,
Andy, take him home.
Yeah, Andy, take him home. Also, I don't know if it... Maybe I would think if this is awkward, and maybe it isn't. This is a question for you. In that scene, Sylvia Costas is next to Andy and Andy Jr. At no point does Andy introduce Sylvia Costas to Andy Jr.
Well, because he's not... That's not the time. That's not that time and place for that. And Sylvia knows that. He's trying to get his son... He's trying to make sure his son doesn't go to jail for cocaine possession or selling cocaine. And all he's worried about is getting her off. So Sylvia recognizes that. And that's why Sylvia doesn't make a big deal of it. Sylvia's like, when he's ready, he'll introduce me to his son.
All right.
But they're not anything at that point, really. Like,
what are you talking about? They're boning.
They're not there yet, though.
They've been... Okay, hold on.
They're not there yet.
They're boning on the regular, for sure. Because it's been a long time since that episode where they were boning at his place. And they're still together. And pretty soon, we're going to have the episode where... Actually, it's the next episode. Where Andy meets her family.
Yeah.
So they're pretty much there with each other.
I don't know.
But it's fine.
I don't know.
We'll talk more about it. We'll talk more about it next week, because family becomes a big part.
When a kid's involved, it's different. It's different meeting like brothers and like her dad. But like if she was like, "Oh, here's my 17-year-old daughter," it's different.
All right. We'll talk about it more as we get to the next episode. Is there anything? Oh yeah, that's right. I wrote in my notes, this episode ends with Robin and Kelly laying groundwork. Robin seems to be like another character they brought in just so Kelly could have sex with her.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Which is, like, frustrating, because he's already having a whole bunch of sex this season with different people. But what's not another one? And her husband just died.
Yeah, and it kind of seems that, like, I don't know, it just seems like... So last episode was his ex-wife's last episode. And so it's like, oh, let's bring this other chick in because the Kelsey's kind of like disappeared for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we need somebody to fuck this ginger.
But you
know what this means, Kirk? We're like 8 episodes away from Simone.
Simone.
So the year of Simone.
Getting some more of Simone. Yeah, it's getting close. I also really liked the last episode of season 1. And
yeah, it's a good episode.
And I think the last episodes of season 1 kind of set up the ramp that is the greatness that is season 2. So it's a good group of seasons. So I'm kind of excited that that's what we're doing.
I'm just excited to finish season 1 and get out of this fucking ginger phase.
All right, every episode of Asher Brothers Podcast and NYPD Blue Balls is on asherbrotherspodcast.com. We do have a Twitter account, Asher Bros Pod, if you want to follow it. I doubt you will. Not many do. Don't go to Amazon to watch NYPD Blue because it's not there. Hopefully a new place will start streaming it very soon. We hope and we pray.
Yeah. If not, go fuck yourselves. Figure it out on your own.
Yep. Later.